Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Football Friday Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Germinary. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A Football Friday to set the stage for week number 15 around the National Football League. We are firmly in the final month of this National Football League regular season that began last night in Santa Clara on a Thursday night. An ugly game where scoring was at a premium. We'll discuss the NFC West duel between the Rams and the 49ers in just a matter of moments. We'll preview the entirety of a full Sunday slate. Bye weeks are a thing of the past in the National Football League. Every team in action in week number 15. We've got the Army-Navy game on Saturday as well. A Heisman Trophy ceremony to get you set for. And NBA Cup semifinal Saturday. As well as we'll take a small break from a Football Friday a little bit later on in the show. Joe, so much to cover over these 3 hours live right here on the Early Line.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week, and I have a feeling here, Ben, especially in the NFL, where teams with nothing to play for usually make you the most money.
Yes, they can at times, trying to play spoiler to teams that might have postseason aspirations at this point of the season. And that is a key ingredient to our recipe for this Football Friday and everything that will happen on the NFL Week 15 Sunday slate. If you are in that playoff chase, whether it's your seed line, just a berth to the postseason, maybe you are battling it out with a divisional foe for that divisional crown, there is so much significance at stake throughout all of week 15. So with so much football to cover here, Joe, we do things a little bit differently on this Football Friday. No 7-7, none of the biggest headlines around sports, right into football, because the biggest thing that happened last night on a Thursday in Northern California, a divisional duel that was highly impactful for the NFC West race between the Rams and the 49ers. San Francisco needing a victory to get back to an even 500 mark to maybe, just maybe, keep its season afloat, a season defined by injuries. The Rams trying to stack together wins as they did a year ago to be in the hunt for that NFC West crown. And Joe, here's the fascinating thing about football. In a span of about 5 days, the Rams went from playing the highest scoring game in the National Football League this season, last Sunday at home against Buffalo, 44-42, a combined 86 total points, to the first football game of this season without a single touchdown recorded by either two teams. A grind-it-out fest last night in an underwhelming game that LA picks up a huge victory, 12-6 over the 49ers. The Rams win outright as a 3-point road underdog, a total at 48.5 for a short week Thursday night football game. Germinary stays well under that number.
Imagine if I would have told you, Ben, earlier in the week that, listen, the 49ers are going to hold the Rams with no touchdown. They're not scoring a touchdown in this game. We would have thought for sure the 49ers would be winning this game. But, yeah, no, that was not happening. In fact, by far, in a 12-6 game, the worst unit on the field was the 49ers offense, Ben, who couldn't even get 100 yards in the second half of this game. 191 total yards of offense. That is the second lowest ever in the Kyle Shanahan era, and it is exactly a reason why the 49ers lost. The defense played great, but boy, oh boy, that 49ers team, what a letdown. And how you doing, Debo, with those drops? You getting enough balls to run your way that you can't catch? I'm just curious.
Yeah, and Joe, really, that was a defining moment in the game in the third quarter. Their opening drive of the second half, driving down the field. Debo Samuel on third down, wide open across the field, in man coverage with some green grass in front. Had he made the reception, not just for a first down, but maybe the game's only touchdown, dropped the football onto the turf, leading to a Jake Moody field goal, as most things led to last night, whether it was Joshua Carty, the rookie out of Stanford for LA, or Jake Moody, the second-year player for San Fran. It was only field goals. The Rams had more, four of them. The Niners only had two. Again, Los Angeles winning 12-6. And Joe, if you watched either of these two teams play on Sunday, we're talking less than a week ago, which is the fascinating thing about the turnaround on a short week Thursday night game. The Rams defense could not stop the Buffalo Bills. They had no answer to match Josh Allen. The only reason LA won that game at the very end is because the Bills tried to use a quarterback sneak, leading to a burned timeout, so they never got the football back. If they got the football back with even 20 seconds left, there's a chance the Bills would have scored yet again to win that game in Los Angeles. So who was the star of the night for LA? Matthew Stafford made some plays when necessary. Kyren Williams got a ton of usage on the ground. Second consecutive game with 29 carries for Kyren Williams. He had over 100 yards as well. Puka Nacua, a couple of big grabs throughout the game. But Joe, the star of the game was that front for LA, a young defense that was questioned and tested just a Sunday ago against Buffalo, that answered the call in a big way last night in Santa Clara.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's when you needed a big play, it was Stafford to the rescue. That 51-yard catch there and bomb to Nacua was really the big difference maker in that game, because it allowed them pretty much at that particular point to take the lead and watch the 49ers once again just fall to pieces on offense. Stafford is playing at an MVP level right now. Nobody's talking about it because the team's 8-6. But Ben, the only reason they are 8-6 and still in playoff contention is because of the way Matt Stafford has been playing here over the last month and a half.
Listen, the numbers last night in basically every offensive category were not all that flashy. So if you see 16 of 27 for Stafford for only a buck 60, you might be thinking, what an atrocious aerial attack. Well, with the heavy rain late in the opening half that subsided into the second two quarters, it was Matthew Stafford making poised throw after poised throw to deliver the Rams a victory. They don't care if last week had 86 points and this week only had 18 combined. They won both games. We often say, Joe, what is the test of a championship team? They find a variety of ways to win a football game, and Los Angeles has done just that. A 1-4 start to this season, when everybody was injured for the Rams early. They have now won seven of their last nine, much like they did a season ago. After a 3-6 start, they finished the regular season winning seven of their final eight to earn a playoff berth. We'll talk about the overall outlook for both of these teams. The Niners season more than likely done, defined by injuries and highly disappointing. The Rams have a lot of life left within the NFC West. But Joe, I do want to talk about San Francisco. You mentioned Debo Samuel. Five total touches last night, 19 total yards. Should have been much more, a very costly drop. Brock Purdy, 14 of 31, 142 yards. Another good possession out of the 49ers midway through the fourth quarter resulted in a Brock Purdy interception by Darius Williams for LA in the end zone. That was the final blow as the Rams went on a very, very long drive to ice the game away with a field goal. There are questions for this Kyle Shanahan-led team offensively, despite the numerous injuries that there have not been really in his decade in San Francisco. We'll talk about all of that next for the 49ers and the Rams' outlook, trying to win a division next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A huge divisional duel on a Thursday to open up Week 15 around the National Football League with serious implications for the NFC playoff picture. Joe, let's start with the victorious team last night in Santa Clara. That's the LA Rams. Again, no pictures on the scorecard. You can play in one of the most offensive games, not offensive, most offensive games in the history of the NFL, like LA did a week ago, 44-42 against the Buffalo Bills, highest scoring game of this season, first ever NFL game in history where both teams score 40 plus and nobody turns the football over. And then on a short week, just about 4 days later, turn around and play in a game where no touchdowns were recorded, and there was only 18 total points. But still, you found a way to win on the road on a short week against a divisional foe. And the Rams entered last night 7-6. They now pick up win number 8 of this season. And Joe, the Rams entered last night at plus 160 to win the NFC West behind the Seattle Seahawks. It is no longer plus 160, and they are no longer behind Seattle. Minus 105, the price for LA. Seattle still has a half-game lead, if you will, in the division, having not played yet in Week 15 and having an 8-5 record, but LA has moved in front on the odds board, and there's a few reasons that number might be justified.
Yeah, I mean, listen, in that division, Ben, so let's put an X through the 49ers here, right? So right. We got to have to count on what? Arizona or Seattle here. Now, Seattle seems to have put it together rather well since their bye week, but Arizona, you have no idea which Kyler Murray shows up on a week-to-week basis, which is troubling to say the least. So it's the Rams in Seattle as far as I'm concerned, and I'd give the leg up to the Rams simply because they have an MVP caliber quarterback, and the way he's playing with the weapons he has. This all happened last night, by the way. I don't think Cooper Kupp had one catch in that game yesterday. No. But Nacua and everyone else and Kyron Williams, they have a running game. They have a very prolific passing game. They got a great experienced head coach. Yeah, I'm in the Rams band camp here. I think this is absolutely a team that can do some damage. Not only win the West, but may upend a team or two along the way.
Entering week number 12, I bet LA to win the NFC West at a plus 290 number. Just about a week and a half prior, it was closer to a 9-1 price. Ooh. Really, Joe, because of the reason we are seeing on display right now, that anybody in this division, but specifically the Rams, who had a large hill to climb after a 1-4 start, if they were going to sniff the postseason, it wasn't going to be a wild card berth in the highly competitive NFC where you have a Vikings team with 11 wins. That is a wild card team right now. A Green Bay team at 9-4 in a wild card spot. And the Commanders with 8 wins also in a wild card position. It was a divisional crown. Trusting in Stafford, trusting in his healthier offensive line, trusting in a young defense that would only improve throughout a season. And with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua back, getting a vision offensively of what the Rams could look like, not last night, but perhaps last week against Buffalo. Again, only 160 yards for Matthew Stafford. But the veteran experience, making plays when necessary in that second half to win a football game, to move the sticks, to retain possession, that was the key last night. Kyron Williams has been great this year for LA as well, despite not hitting pay dirt. Nobody got into the end zone last night. So the Rams in that pole position at minus 105. Here's the remaining schedule for L.A. Road trip to New York to take on the Jets after the mini bye next weekend. And then they return home for their final two games that will define their season. Hosting the Cardinals, hosting the Seahawks. The Rams have already beaten Seattle this year. That could be a huge tiebreaker advantage. And thus, Joe, why I think that minus money price to win the NFC West in front of the Seahawks right now is, in fact, justified.
I agree, Ben. I think there is it's the Rams at this point really to fumble, given the teams that they have left on the schedule that you mentioned there. What game are you worried about here at this point? Not to mention when you look at Seattle down the stretch here too, I'm almost sticking a fork in Arizona at this point here. I'm not sure that they're going to beat New England this week. So it is the Rams are sitting pretty in what we all thought was a mediocre division, but the cream is rising to the top right now, and that is the Rams.
And the Rams are 3-1 in the NFC West. Their only loss against a divisional foe way back in week number 2 in the desert against the Cardinals. Joe, like you, I kind of think New England is live this week as nearly a touchdown underdog out there in Glendale against the Cards. Seattle will play on Sunday night at home and yet booked as a home underdog in front of the 12s against the Green Bay Packers. We'll get to the Sunday slate in just a moment. Joe, you said it to start this segment. You can put an X through the San Francisco 49ers. A wildly disappointing season for a team that had reached the NFC Championship game 4 of the previous 5 years, playing in a Super Bowl twice in that 5-year span as well. And from the odds makers' perspective, was really expected to be there once again in 2024. The very short favorites entering this NFL campaign to win the NFC. They were close to a $2 minus money favorite to win this division yet again. And now their season is basically over. Yes, defined by injury. And they had some terrible luck on both sides of the football. But Joe, the performance last night, to be as bad as it was offensively, when Deebo Samuel was healthy, when George Kittle was healthy, Juwan Jennings was healthy, and Brock Purdy still under center, not a great look for that Kyle Shanahan system.
No, and to have, 80-some-odd yards in the second half and then still have a lead heading into the fourth quarter, Ben, and losing it again, and they've done that a number of times this year. What can you say? I mean, you had to give the 49ers the benefit of the doubt because of the championship caliber players and experience that they have and coach, but bottom line is this ain't their year. It's over. Time to regroup if you're the 49ers.
It is over. It has been a season for San Fran that will be looked at as one in which they faltered, but maybe they can blame injuries. We'll talk a little bit more about the 49ers, the aftermath of last night, NFC playoff picture next as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFC playoff picture after a Thursday night divisional duel within the NFC West that will have ramifications, Joe, not just on that divisional title race, but really how the rest of the NFC looks and feels depending on who wins this division and maybe hosts a playoff game that opening weekend of the postseason. So the Rams are now really in a great spot to claim the divisional crown. But at this moment, it is still Seattle. Before we get there, I do want to make one final point on the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Joe, a season that has been lost. And that was kind of encapsulated last night. If you were watching the game broadcast, or perhaps you were not. Last night on defense, San Francisco played a great game. The Rams did not score a touchdown, right? Just 4 converted field goals. You were healthier on the defensive side of the football. Nick Bosa back for the first time in a few weeks. Drake Greenlaw making his debut this season after tearing his Achilles, jogging onto the field during Super Bowl 58 last year in Las Vegas. Talanoa Hufanga was back in that secondary as well. And a guy that had really filled in admirably in that linebacking core without Greenlaw this season, Devondre Campbell, who left the game early in the third quarter, jogged back into the tunnel and into the locker room. Was he hurt? Was he not feeling well? What was the deal? Kyle Shanahan asked about it after the game, said Devondre Campbell just quit on his team, said he did not want to play football for the 49ers anymore. Joe, sometimes there are just seasons that go like this, and the 49ers were not pleased, let's call it that, with Devondre Campbell last night. But again, it's kind of indicative of what this season has been. Overwhelmingly frustrating and highly disappointing for the 49ers.
I mean, on every level here, Ben. I mean, there are, you know, you watch football long enough, this is going to happen. It happens to everybody, and it happens to every even great organization. There are going to be years where everything stacks up against you. Now, the truly greats work through it with what they have, and they buy enough time to get healthy and make a run, which is what all of us really, Ben, have been waiting for with the 49ers. They deserve the benefit of the doubt. But at this particular point, with the names that you mentioned that were available to them last night in a must-win situation at home, it's not in the cards for the 49ers this year. And it sounds like they got a lot of other issues going on in that locker room besides just injuries that are piling up.
And Joe, that will be a huge component of this NFC playoff picture, because entering the year, we would have expected San Francisco rather comfortably to win the NFC West and host a playoff game. In fact, entering the year, it was the 49ers as a very short favorite to win the NFC. It was the Niners as the favorites to be the number one overall seed and thus kind of dictate how the NFC would play out once we reach the postseason. Of course, that is not the case anymore. Your four divisional leaders at this moment, the Lions in the top spot, the Eagles only a game back, the Seahawks currently in first place in the NFC West at 8-5 with a half game lead over LA, but the Rams are a slight favorite to win the division now. The Bucks, the favorites once again, and in the top spot of the NFC South.
Yeah, getting real interesting, isn't it now, Ben? These last couple of weeks here, it's put up a shut up time in the NFL, and with a lot of, and I don't know what you call it, Ben. I mean, you want to call it parity. It's even worse in the wild card spot for the AFC. But in the NFC, we're getting a whole lot of teams that are, there's not going to be a whole lot separating them here. So, you know, to win a division, if you're the Bucs at barely 500 or maybe, you know, just under 500, that's a possibility here. We thought that with the NFC West. But it looks like the NFC West, whoever wins that division, is going to end up winning it, playing their best football down the stretch of the season, whether it's the Rams or the Seahawks.
And Joe, when you look at where the things are in the NFC right now, the Vikings are an 11-win football team in the top spot of the wild card chase. Green Bay is a 9-4 team. Huge matchup on Sunday night in the Northwest between the Pack and those Seahawks. The Commanders out of a bye, hefty road favorite in New Orleans against Jake Haener and the Saints. 8-5 record for the Commanders. And yet, from the conference title odds, it still really factors to be a two-team race. The Lions, the short favorites, nearly $2 in front of the Philadelphia Eagles. We will have plenty more conversations with the big picture outlook baked into the Sunday slate preview for NFL week number 15. But next, we talk Bill Belichick in Chapel Hill here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. So much football to dive into on this Friday. A full preview of the NFL Week 15 Sunday slate coming up. We hit on every single game, all 14 now on Sunday. I believe 14. Did I do that right? No, 13 on Sunday with a doubleheader on Monday night as well. But, Joe, one of the reasons that it's such a robust Football Friday is the big news in the early offseason, if you will, of college football in that coaching carousel in the sport with perhaps one of the most shocking coaching hires in the last 20 years or so in CFB. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick yesterday introduced as the new head football coach of North Carolina. And Bill had plenty to say. Joe, we'll react to everything that Bill Belichick had to say yesterday. But before we react, let's hear from the man himself as he was introduced as UNC's new head coach yesterday.
It was we went through a process, but it was great. Every step of the way was great. The support was tremendous. All the things that I feel are important to having a successful program, Bubba and Chancellor Roberts reaffirmed. And I think they've made a great commitment to this program, obviously of a great university. And I'd say along the way, as kind of things got out, if you will, the amount of support that I got from Carolina grads, former Carolina football players, people that are connected with this university was really overwhelming. And not that I'm any social media expert, because I'm not, but there was an awful lot of, positive feedback from my face and stuff like that, and it was great.
Okay, great stuff, Bill. We appreciate it. You know what's been really funny? Just watching that press conference yesterday about Bill Belichick, who has become a media darling this year, if you will, seeming so much more engaging. He was at the roast of Tom Brady. As soon as he is a head coach once again at a podium for a press conference, very little emotion on Belichick's face. Joe, last week on a Football Friday, you and I were here when the first report came out that Bill Belichick had interviewed for the North Carolina head coaching vacancy. It felt like a leverage play at the time to garner some more interest around the NFL. And then what seemed like an onion headline became a reality in about a 6-day span. What was your reaction to when this became official on Wednesday evening?
Well, it was twofold, Ben. It was, I thought that, and sometimes, listen, when you spend your entire life in the last, and he's really been a football guy his entire life, but, sometimes when you go 30, 40 years, Ben, and then all of a sudden guys walk away for a year or are out of that loop for a year, it kind of does give them some different perspective, especially when you're 72 years old at this point. And the history of football in his blood and in his family, maybe, just maybe, Belichick wants to start where it all began at the college level with his dad, who I think coached at Chapel Hill in the mid-50s. Yeah. So this is, a time away like that, sometimes you reevaluate what's important to you in your life. You get to that grind and that daily grind, and you saw how miserable he was at the end there in New England. Sometimes, a year away from the game really does give you some clarity. And I don't think if he was willing to give it 100%, I don't think he'd be doing this if the NFL, and I don't think the NFL is still out of the question, Ben, but he's back in the game, so to speak. And that's really all that matters to Belichick right now, apparently.
Yesterday, he really spoke to the idea that he grew up in Carolina. His father, Steve, was an assistant at UNC from 1953 to 1955. He had one of the greatest lies of all time, saying that all the stories he heard as a kid were about young Billy. And young Billy's first words were, "Beat Duke." Obviously, a joke in his introductory press conference, but still. And Joe, he was really asked a ton yesterday how he sees the college game, never having worked collegiately throughout the entirety of his very illustrious and successful football life. When he first earned a job in the NFL back in 1975, he remained in the National Football League for nearly a half century in some form or fashion until, of course, he parted ways with New England at the end of the 2023 NFL campaign. How would he relate his system to the collegiate ranks? Did college football now in the NIL and transfer portal era more resemble what he was accustomed to in the National Football League? So on and so forth. And then, Joe, a point that was really driven home by the media yesterday in Chapel Hill: what was his commitment to Carolina? What was his commitment to college football? What would happen if the NFL came calling? Here's Bill Belichick to answer those questions.
Yeah, well, success is, it's a day-by-day process. And the only thing we can really do anything about is, today, tomorrow, what's immediately in front of us. So take advantage of every opportunity we have to build the team, improve the team, get better, and keep stringing a lot of good days together, and the results will come.
Pat Welter.
Pat Welter, WREL. Bill, what do you say to people that fear that if you do succeed here, that you might leave for the NFL again in a year or two?
Yeah, I didn't come here to leave.
Okay, so that was from Bill Belichick again, rather plain in how he spoke. We'll talk about what success actually looks like for UNC in year number one for Bill Belichick in just a moment. But, Joe, yesterday as well came out the contract details, as North Carolina is a public university, and thus those records are easily accessible by the media to see for public record. He is making a five-year deal worth $50 million with a ton of bonuses, basically $1 million per year in terms of base salary and a lot of incentive that get it closer to about $10 million and perhaps even above that number. One thing really stood out, though, as you started to read the tea leaves within the actual wording of the contract. June 1st, 2025, which is a date before next college football season, which would be the very first year of Belichick's tenure at North Carolina. Before June 1st, 2025, if he were to leave or were to be fired for whatever reason, his buyout would be $10 million. If he were to leave after June 1st, that buyout drops to only $1 million if Carolina or Belichick decided to move on. Joe, this is not June 1st of two summers from now, after the 2025 season and Belichick's first in Chapel Hill. This is this summer before perhaps he has even coached a game at UNC. It was rather alarming for some that were like, well, that's very different than the idea of, quote, I didn't come here to leave, end quote.
Yeah, well, it's, the details and the fine print tell you a lot here, Ben, right? Because basically, he can terminate this contract as well without cause. It would just cost him $10 million if he wanted to be part of this NFL hiring cycle. It'll cost him $1 million to walk away without cause if he wants next year's NFL hiring cycle to be part of the situation. So that is what they call an exit strategy, Ben, and he's got it written into that contract for him to return to the NFL.
Yes, he does. Maybe he gets his staff in place, brings over his son, Steve, to be the defensive coordinator. After spring ball, he goes, you know what? I'm just not made for the college game here on Tobacco Road. I'm going to leave. Steve Belichick, the new head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. Here, by the way, is the odds expectation for Bill in perhaps his first year as the Heels head coach. 7.5 is the win total. The under had much more juice yesterday at minus 152. People starting to buy into the idea that Bill Belichick will be successful from the very start. And Joe, I do think that is sound, because it's not like Carolina won two games last year. In the 6 years under Mack Brown, they at bare minimum reached bowl eligibility, 6 wins all 6 seasons. We start our NFL Week 15 Sunday slate preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL Week 15 Sunday slate. You know our charge and our duty. Live right here on a Football Friday on the Early Line, a preview, a breakdown, some betting thoughts on every single game on the Sunday slate. Bye weeks are a thing of the past now in the 2024 NFL regular season. They came to a close last week with 6 teams having an open weekend. Week 15 and beyond, the final 4 weeks of this NFL regular season, the true home stretch of week number 15 and beyond. No more bye weeks, which means very full Sunday slates. 13 games on this Sunday. We had one last night. We have a doubleheader on Monday. That is three of the 16 when everybody is in action. So 13, Joe, 13 games on Sunday for us to preview. And in that afternoon window, the late afternoon window, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time, it's as good as you will find any Sunday of any NFL season, potentially ever. We have a game of the year potential. Game of the year five between two very short contenders and front runners to win either their conference crowns or perhaps Super Bowl 59. In the Motor City, the Lions host the Bills. Detroit a 2.5-point favorite. The total stands, Joe, at 54.5.
Yeah, very interesting spot here for both these teams, right? Especially, I mean, the Bills coming off of that loss to the Rams a week ago on the road. And listen, a lot of people thought maybe a little bit of a letdown situation there for the Bills. But the Bills could have won that game, should have won that game. But now they got the Detroit Lions, who many people believe is the team to beat this year, coming out of the NFC. I think the Bills are going to treat this like a playoff game. I think the fact that the Bills lost that game last week to the Rams makes them extremely dangerous in this one. And with all those injuries on the defensive side of the ball for Detroit, it's kind of hard not to love the chances of Josh Allen and that offense to be able to get it done this week in what should be the most entertaining game of this week 15 slate.
And that 54.5 does loom very large. In fact, if it stays right there, it will be our highest over-under of this 2024 NFL season. It will be the seventh game for Detroit playing with a total of 50-plus, as they did last Thursday night on the full week of preparation after Turkey Day against the Packers. That game featured 65 points, went over a number around 52 and a hook. But Detroit in its previous six games with a total of 50 or higher, under in four of six. It would be just the second game for Buffalo at 50 plus, which also includes last week against the Rams in what was the highest scoring game of this NFL season, 86 combined points between the two sides. Buffalo will be an underdog. This line has worked down to 1.5 at moments throughout this week, now closer to a field goal in favor of Detroit. I don't think we expect this number to get to 3 in favor of the Lions, even by the time we reach kick on Sunday afternoon in the Motor City. But I will say this, Buffalo has been an underdog 3 times this year. They are both 1-2 straight up and against the spread. A game week 2, short week Thursday night game against Miami that the Bills won to South Florida, booked as an underdog and won that game outright. Of course, it was where Tua Tagovailoa was injured in the third quarter. But the Bills were booked as an underdog 2 more times immediately after that against Baltimore and Houston, lost both of those games outright, did not cover. 3 games for Buffalo as a dog this year, under in all 3, but that's the Buffalo of the past. The Bills, Joe, have scored 30-plus points in 7 consecutive games. This Buffalo offense is a juggernaut right now, led by the MVP favorite in Josh Allen.
Yeah, and I mean, Ben, it's interesting because the Bills have 3 losses on the season. If I'm not mistaken, all 3 of those came on the road. So they are really good at Orchard Park. They tripped up a little bit here on the road. And listen, I don't see this Buffalo team losing 2 games in a row. I do think ultimately Jared Goff at home, they have extra rest. They have the rest advantage here at this particular point. But I still think this is going to come down to which quarterback makes the plays when it matters the most. And if, on any given Sunday, Ben, my money would be on Josh Allen at this point and not Jared Goff. And I think ultimately that's what it's going to come down to.
Their yardage props are very similar, just separated by a single yard, as you can see right there. But Jared Goff's rushing yards prop is not quite what that is of Josh Allen. In fact, Goff does not have a number listed. Josh Allen at 40 and a half, only 11 yards behind his lead running back in James Cook. Josh Allen, leading rusher for Buffalo a week ago, 82 yards on the ground, 3 rushing scores, also had 3 passing touchdowns, first player in NFL history with 3 pass touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns in the same game. Joe, what's really interesting about this one as well is those defensive woes for Detroit, but some good news because of the additional rest. Aleem McNeil has been a full participant at practice despite still being in the concussion protocol this week. Josh Pascal has been out there at practice as well for Detroit's defense because, Joe, without the defense at full strength, especially in the second half last week against Green Bay, you saw some of the issues. Green Bay scored 24 points in the second to make that a game in the Motor City on Thursday night.
Yeah, and listen, it's you give Detroit all the credit in the world. They have had to overcome, you know, one of the losing what, Ben? One of the best pass rushers, if not the best pass rusher in the NFL, in Hutchinson early on. And then Anzalone, their leader in the locker room there, their linebacker, he goes down. I mean, they are trying next man up to a point, Ben, and that works against some teams, but teams that have prolific offenses with crazy quarterbacks, that's going to be another, and that's going to get tested again this week against the Buffalo Bills.
The Lions are the Super Bowl favorites entering the final 4 weeks of this season at plus 280. Buffalo, second best price to win the AFC, fourth best number to win a Lombardi Trophy. What a matchup on Sunday, and it continues next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I've already mentioned a few times how awesome this late afternoon slate is on Sunday for week number 15 around the NFL. And we continue our previews and breakdowns live right here on a Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. At the same time, two marquee matchups that both could be the game of the week and maybe have a shot at being the game of the year. We started in Detroit, the Lions and the Bills. Detroit booked as a 2.5-point favorite. 54.5 is the total. How about the in-state showdown in the Commonwealth in Philadelphia? The Eagles play host to the Steelers, two teams atop their divisions, two teams that both have at least 10 wins this season. But a 5.5-point spread in favor of Philly in a much lower total than what we are expecting to see in the Motor City. 42.5 is the number between the Birds and the Steelers. Joe, we know how good Pittsburgh is as an underdog, a perfect 5-0 outright this season booked as a dog. Philly is on a 9-game heater, a win streak, but maybe with some internal conflict within that locker room. How do you break down this interconference and yet in-state showdown between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, listen, you, Philadelphia coming off the bye, not without drama, on a 9-game winning streak, which is so typical of Nick Sirianni and the Eagles, I can't even begin to tell you here. A disgruntled wide receiver. And again, stop me if you've heard this before here, Ben, because it feels like it's rinse and repeat. We mentioned it during the week, right? As long as the Eagles keep winning games, they'll be just fine. The problem is this number is very strange to a lot of people because of the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road as an underdog. Now, usually when we're talking about the Steelers and Tomlin as an underdog on the road, it's usually 2, 2.5, maybe a field goal. I mean, 5.5 points on the road for the Steelers. It's almost as if the books are daring you to take the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is worrisome to me here, Ben. Listen, I think if Philadelphia plays its typical game and what they have done, they will choke out Pittsburgh because they'll make Russell Wilson be one-dimensional in the second half without, by the way, Is Pickens ready to go with that hamstring? Without having that deep threat? There, you make Russell Wilson one-dimensional, we know what happens there. They're not going to be able to run. Neither team, I think, is going to be able to run all that much in this game. All things being equal here, I think Philadelphia is the rightful favorite. And if they win, Ben, I think they win by way more than the 5.5 points they're asking you to lay.
Joe, to your point, it feels as though the number is telling you just that. Philadelphia has covered in 6 of their 9 victories on this win streak. Not last week against Carolina, because of how dominant the Birds defense has been the last 2+ months, as they have really kind of ingratiated themselves to Vic Fangio's system. They have gone under in 6 of 9 wins as well. But in 6 of 7 starts that Russell Wilson has made for the Steelers, Pittsburgh has played to the over. Not your grandfather's Pittsburgh Steelers offense as of late. So, Joe, let me ask you about that 42.5. Does it feel light? Does it feel correct? If the Eagles do what the odds makers expect and win comfortably at home on Sunday, does that favor the under of 42.5?
Yes, it does, because I think Pittsburgh is going to find it difficult to hit pay dirt here. I mean, I think there are too many weapons right now for Philadelphia with extra rest and an opportunity to make a statement here. I think there's just far too many weapons against this Pittsburgh defense. There's not that many weapons. I mean, Najee's been great. Warren has been great. Russ has been great, but no Pickens playing from behind would worry me here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it will be a little bit worrisome. And George Pickens, by the way, listed as doubtful. It's what Mike Tomlin told us earlier this week. Russell Wilson's number, 197.5. Below 200. Joe, what's really fascinating about this game as well is that Philly aerial attack. 3 consecutive, despite winning all 3, that Jalen Hurts has thrown for fewer than 180 yards. And there has been some conversation, some drama this week, perhaps, between Hurts, the quarterback, and his number one wideout in A.J. Brown. The odds makers know it, too, in terms of the narrative. 80.5 against a Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Ooh. That does allow some pass yardage, just so you know. We'll talk more about Brown later. Hour number 2 up next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.